This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Listening to Enterprise, I'm Christine Wong, and this is part one of the Enterprise Breakaway 2017 Rewind. This year's Enterprise Breakaway is happening in just a few weeks, so to give you a taste of what to expect at this year's event, here's a recap of last year's Breakaway themed Back to Basics. Our first panel topic was One Step Back, Two Steps Forward, and our first two panelists were Sharif Mzayek, CEO of Alisar Flowers International, and Eng Sang Bang, CEO of Emilus Holdings Berhad, who are both Endeavor entrepreneurs. Here's Frida talking to Sharif about his experience with Endeavor.
We've got two gentlemen who have come very far. We've got Sharif, who come all the way from Jordan, and also Sang Bang, all the way from Penang. How has working with bodies like Endeavor helped you in your business?
The network of Endeavor is amazing. You have access to some of the best minds in the business world, all over the world. The other thing with Endeavor is the ability to have people give you a sort of advisory board. So we have two advisory boards, one for Alisar and one for Flora Now. We sit together on a regular basis. We discuss strategy, performance. We get feedback. And I think the ability to give back, the possibility to give back to the community.
And now let's hear a little bit more from Sharif Mzayek, who turned his family's flower business in Jordan into a powerhouse operating in five business verticals throughout and beyond the Middle East.
At Alisar, we pride ourselves on being enablers of happiness. We are a flower company. We started as a small flower shop in Amman, Jordan, back in 1979, by two-time immigrant parents. We are a family business. Today we have operations across the Middle East. We provide total floral solutions for high-end retail, weddings and events, and five-star luxury hotels, whereby we take care of every aspect of the process, from design to implementation and to process management.
With this huge inventory going into five countries in EMEA, when did that happen?
We were sitting in a modest office at one of our farms, metal ceiling with two holes in the roof. It was raining, which happens in Jordan sometimes. Two buckets on the floor to collect the water. And we were five people talking about how we want to grow the business. We want to grow out of Jordan, go regional, develop new products. Anybody who would watch us during that discussion would think either we had something, some substance, or that we were drinking heavily, we were hallucinating. 10 months after that, we were in Qatar. Immediately after that, we went to Syria, Lebanon. We grew to the UAE, and the rest was only normal. I think the lesson there was to realize that our biggest barriers are within ourselves. It's psychological. So the minute we decided that we can do it, that was the most important challenge to go through.
You know, Sharif, here we are in this part of the world. We're not so war-torn, right? And you are starting a business and then Syria happened and all that happened in the area. It just looks impossible, right?
So dealing with uncertainty is part of the entrepreneur's journey. And it's more so in our part of the world. But you have to wake up every morning and remind yourself that you're here for a reason. If your mission is clear, your strategy is clear, and you have the motivation to do it, you just wake up and get the job done and make sure everybody is following. I had to think about my parents, who were two-time immigrants by the time they came to Jordan. They were immigrants from Syria and Palestine, went to Lebanon, built a business, lost it because of the civil war, and came to Jordan and had to start again. Mm. And I think that was, for us, the example that we can do it. Even when we lose and we fall, and we can stand up again and move forward. And I think that's one trait that entrepreneurs in the Middle East have to remind themselves every day, In this part of the world, I guess you have a different set of challenges. It's not easier at all. You were mentioning now are challenges that are immense to overcome. But it's the passion of the entrepreneur. It's always going back to the basics, understanding really what the elements of success are. What is it that makes us successful? What is it that can make us sail through the difficult times? We are removing around 40% of our revenue. We are selling that because we consider this is non-core. And we believe that by focusing on what is considered core activities of the business, we can grow the business 5 times its size in the next 5 years.
It's pruning.
So that's really a big aha when you have to cut one leg and one arm and say, you know, the business will survive after it and grow. By keeping the focus on those elements, everything else becomes a supporting factor. But the bottom line is knowing what are the drivers of the business and what are the core elements on which the business was successful in the first place.
So that was a few great tips and morals from Sharif Mizayak. Now, here are some words of wisdom from Ng Sang Beng and how he dealt with his own business obstacles.
Aimless, we have a strong R&D team, and what we wanted to do is that don't worry about the past. Right now, look in front, and we want to design one of the best tester ever, and we want to continue from there. And what happened was, because we were designing the testers for 2 years, and that 2 years, we worked for customers without focusing on revenue and profitability. And of course, that 2 years, the revenue dropped like 10-15% for 2 years. But you know that when the revenue drops, profitability is lower. People are not motivated anymore, right? Staff are motivated. They don't know where are we going to. And that's what has been reflected in the next 2 years. We will actually lower down our revenue. And, you know, we have certain contacts, we have certain customers that we were working with in China that we are trying to, for a year that we try to work with them to get that endorse our tester. And 1 year later, we at the point whereby we think that we can start selling it, he left the company. So we were left with no contacts. And, you know, I still remember that day, you know, I talked to one of the guys and I tried to convince him to say that, please help me to push this tester to your management. He said that, no, I'm not going to do this. So suddenly you realize that you have no more contacts. You have no more people who speak on behalf of you. And that day I came back from Shanghai to Penang. When I get back home, I sat down on the couch and my wife was like, wow, this is first time ever I've ever seen you to be such disappointed. And it was true. It was total disappointment. Because the disappointment is not about, not so much about I lost all the contacts. It's about how am I going back to my guys and tell them that, hey guys, everything is going to be okay. Because it's not okay, you understand? So that is really something that, there's one phrase that I always use to encourage myself is that everything will be just all right, you know? So before I slept, I told myself, come on, I mean, we don't care about all this. Everything will be just all right. And, you know, those who knows Mandarin, you know that we used to say that 天塌下来当盖被盖. That's what I told myself, and I went back sleep without thinking of anything else. Because worst is quit, right? But the next day, I woke up and I, you know, the sun in me started to burn again and said, okay, let's do what we can do. And it was just, I thought that just go out and you will find something. And it happened just that I was on a flight with the same customer, the high management of that customer that I was talking to. So I took the opportunity to go to the lounge and talk to him, sell this product and convince him, you know, you're doing all the pitching thing. And he bought it. He bought the idea. And he brought me to see his colleagues, his senior management, and they were convinced. And from there, the whole thing started to fly. What has changed after that 2 years was that the top 10 customers we have is 92% of that top 10 customers. Compared to 2011, we have only 4 customers that contributed 92% of our revenue. And that is actually the results. All product used to contribute 90% of our revenue in 2011. It changed to 22% only in 2014. And that's what we did. That's the results of designing a totally new tester. You go back to basic because we are a product company. Our job is to design the best product. Profitability, revenue, it's a sub-product when you have the right people and the right culture.
It's time for a break, but we've got some great music coming up. After that, we'll be hearing more about the topic One Step Back, Two Steps Forward from Sundaraj Nagalingam, Group Managing Director of DSCAF Group, and CY Hoon, co-founder and CEO of Juris Tech on the Enterprise Breakaway 2017 Rewind. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Business for Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and you are listening to the Enterprise Breakaway 2017 Rewind. As we're gearing up for this year's Enterprise Breakaway happening in just a few weeks, we've been giving you a taste of what to expect by hearing from last year's Breakaway with the theme of Back to Basics. Before the break, we heard from Sharif Mzayak, CEO of Alasar Flowers International, and Ng Sang Bang, CEO of Aimless Holdings Berhad. We're about to hear from a few more Endeavor entrepreneurs in a bit, but before that, here's our very own Jeff Sandu explaining a little bit more about what Endeavor is.
Now, before we start the session, I think some of you are also a bit confused what Endeavor is. EndeavorMalaysia.org, you can read up all about them. Basically, they are a global organization that they select, and then they mentor and they accelerate high-impact entrepreneurs.
All right, well, now that's been cleared up, let's hear from Sundaraj Nagalingam, Group Managing Director of DSCAF Group, discuss his business's core values.
Let's look back in both the inception of the company. When you're developing the company or you're starting the inception of the company, what was that key strategy that you felt this was so important? Let's go back to that beginning first.
Our first thing was the brand. When we talk about scaffolding, everybody just says scaffolding. Nobody wanted to talk about brand. And our vision was to be a $100 million company. For a $100 million company, how would we want this brand to be portrayed? And we made sure that as simple as sending a fax, as simple as sending an email, it has to be a $100 million quality. We were new, so we had to gain a lot of confidence from people. So that was our big turning point, to have a world-class brochure, a world-class website, and things like that. That sort of helped us gain a lot of confidence from people on the first hand, being new.
So what about CY Hoon? What was her initial strategy for her company, Juris Tech?
I think because we found this, because of the blue ocean strategy, and when we decided to focus, everything came together, because once the sales come, then your vision and clarity comes. So you have to move and adapt to the times.
That pivot time when you decided to see the e-commerce boom, that was a good thing. But what was it that triggered you to like, ooh, e-commerce works? Besides just you were in that B2B side already, what was the trigger and like how wrong was that direction?
No, I think this one is still back to, now I still meet a lot of entrepreneurs. Sometimes they're doing something very well and they don't think that that business, that they can continue growing. They think another business is better. And then somehow you start thinking about another business, and after you start toying with the idea becomes bigger and bigger, you get more people involved, and after that you guys are all convinced that it works. At first I thought that if you create a new business, you can just hire people. So I hired my sister-in-law, okay? and I worked with another publishing company that already has all these connections with interior decorators and all that. I hired a salesperson, and my CTO also. At first I said I'm not going to get him involved. But seriously, every time you do a new business, it requires so much energy that both he and myself became involved. It's only my COO that came on saying that, guys, can you please come back? You know, this business is making money. We don't know what you're doing there.
And now, getting right back to our topic, one step back, two steps forward. Over to you, Jeff.
When do you know when it's time to, like, let's take that step back, right? The one step back, two step forward. Like, when do you know it's time to take a step back? Especially when things are going on really well, when, you know, you're making money, profits is coming in. When do you say like, oh, we should take a step back and re-strategize, because you don't want to disrupt the flow as well, and you know, you don't want to ruin the confidence that your staff would have at that point in time. When do you know is the right time to like, let's regroup? Or is this an ongoing thing? It goes on every day, or week, or months?
Decision usually comes almost instantaneously. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you know, if people gain weight, right? They don't realize they've gained weight until one day they look at the mirror and say, oh no, I've gained weight, you know? It may not be, you gradually, you know that it's wrong, you might have stopped it earlier. So, but you have this gut feeling that it's wrong, but you just don't want to face it.
we went through the similar phase as well. I think we were, when we started off, we you know, it was like a big bang. We went on and then we thought, wow, it's good, really carry on and on. And it came to a point that, you know, we were expanding. We started moving into Hmong products. We thought, hey, this is good. Let's move into Hmong products. We went into hiring. We basically bought talent, expensive talent, right? So we thought that's the way to go, to fast track our growth. We bought foreign talent in on and basically expertise. How can we grow this particular phase? You know, like I was mentioned, when we started, we were doing traditional scaffold and we were moving into modular scaffold. So we basically bought talent. And as we went on, like what Waihan says, you know, you certainly will feel, you know, when it comes, you realize that I think it's not about growing too fast. It's it. Things basically growing in sort of unparalleled way, and some things are not right. So that's why I keep mentioning that. That is the point of time many entrepreneurs then tend to forget your core business, what you've been doing that's supporting you all the while, and you start focusing on this new stuff, which is not guaranteed that is going to give you your new revenue source or stuff like that. So when what we did was me and my partner, we sit down and we were facing that issue. You got to face it. You got to face it. In our case, what we did, we basically saw that some, because of this extensive hiring, a lot of positions became redundant. All right? And it was just, and we were trying to create new jobs for people that we hire, new areas, and it was not the right thing to do in the business. It was just like basically draining out our resources. And we took a decision to say that I think some of the key guys, we basically downsize. We basically downsize, and we told ourselves, let's downsize for now. Let's focus on what we have. And at the same time, build our new modular in a different trajectory, you know. So, but a lot of people don't want to take that decision that hey, and don't want to address that redundancy. So I think that will be a problem.
So how do you identify the redundancy? Is it because, you know, there's so many factors on both sides, right? It can be economic factor, like, you know, falling oil prices and, you know, financial crisis. How would you then decide, like, you're redundant, and what is it the goals that you set on your staff, or, you know, how do you manage that?
I think it's very simple. You've got to go back to the basics in a sense that, you know, you see what is your output from what you're getting, all right? Is
you that, set it at the beginning itself?
No. You know, when for startups and fast growth, you don't have time to set this all this stuff, right? When you grow, it comes, you just keep on going. And that's what I said, and this is when it'll hit you, when you hit that point and you see you're not getting the output that you thought. And where was your thought process? It could be us itself. You know, we didn't set this plan earlier. We didn't set these guidelines earlier, right? And I think that is the key thing. But the fact that you got to sit down and make that decision to say that things got to stop now and take one step back and look at it and start analyzing the situation and stick to your core.
So I think the important thing is that now we're doing a lot of organizational building. Okay, so we realize a lot of times as entrepreneurs, right, we don't really spend a lot of times last time in meetings, in town halls, and in explaining why you're doing things. So we came back and we actually explained. And we explained the vision, where we are going and all that. And there was a lot of buy-in. And those people that we let go, they also understood. They understood why. Because they can see that it's not in our DNA. They can actually see it themselves.
Some really fascinating insights into how sometimes you have to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. But from there, how do you move forward? Let's hand it back over to Jeff.
How do you... 20 years is a long time to be running, you know, a business, right? And you obviously have to keep innovating and keep changing. Personally, how do you do that recharging? How do you wake up every day and go like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to achieve that goal. Because for 20 years, if you keep doing it, it's going to tire you out. It's going to drain you out. And how do you go into the meeting and still have like, all right, let's tackle these three things today in this meeting? How do you still have that energy?
Actually, that's the thing. I always have this so much energy all the time. I mean, and...
What are you drinking?
No. I think also because I think this... Of course, we actually had a vision last time that said, you know, we're going to be the
best credit management software in the world. But when we say that, and when I say that, I always laugh because maybe part of me believe that I can't do it. But anyway, so, but it's this energy that, you know, every time we go in, we want to innovate, we still want to change the world. Seriously, if you still wake up every morning and still say that you want to change the world, then it changes everything.
We need to understand today the businesses, who are running the businesses, what is the age gap, what is the people like, what's their thinking, where are they, and how to capture these people's mind. We have a full-time SEO staff. We are a scaffolding company, but we have a full-time SEO staff, manager. We have a full-time graphics department. We have a full-time design department. And we have a social media department as well. You must understand who is going to inquire your business. Who's going to be your customer? What makes us and how can we change? How can we cater to make sure that we are fit for this generation of people? No matter what business you're in, if you don't cater them, you're not going to get the business.
That was some really sound advice coming from last year's Enterprise Breakaway panelists. That was Sharif Mizayak, Ng Sang Bang, Sundaraj Nagalingam, and CY Hoon, all talking about the topic One Step Back, Two Steps Forward. For more entrepreneurial insights from experienced business people, do come to Enterprise Breakaway 2018, happening in two different places this year. We'll be bringing Breakaway to Penang for the first time on Thursday, the 6th of September at Hotel Equatorial Penang. Then we're back in KL on Thursday, the 20th of September at Connection at Nexus Bangsar South. Tune in next week for the second part of our Enterprise Breakaway 2017 Rewind. And if you've missed any of today's show, then listen to and or download the podcast on our BFM app, available on the Apple App Store or Google Play, or head over to our website. I'm Christine Wong, and this has been part one of the Enterprise Breakaway Rewind 2017. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.